Now, good morning. There were nearly 10,000 children in Northern Ireland referred to mental health services in 2015-16. And from April last year to November, there were another 6,000 children referred to the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, or CAMHS, for help. It's a number that's increasing every year. In fact, there's been a 30% rise in cases since 2012, when nearly 7,000 children were in the system. Our reporter Nicola Weir spoke to one County Antrim mother who's struggling to cope with the deteriorating mental health of her 7-year-old child.
I have a son, he's 7 years old. Basically what's happened is whenever he was born, he was seemed normal until he was about 1.5. He started to show signs of aggression, biting, hitting out in nursery, and as it continued into sort of preschool, P1, P2, and now he's in P3, and basically it's worse than it's ever been. About a year ago, not December there, but the one before, he basically started to say every day that he wanted to kill himself. He seemed depressed. He started to drop out of activities he liked to do. He walked around all the time with his hood up. He wasn't being very sociable anymore. So I had took him to my GP and said, look, I mean, there's something not right here with him. The GP said to me, it's probably just anxiety and he'll grow out of it. But I kept taking him back and saying, it's not, there's something more wrong with him here. You know, it's not the child that I used to know. So he referred him to Warren Children's Centre, and basically they were taken, it was about 4 months and I still hadn't heard anything. So I decided to take him private to be assessed. And whenever I took him, she said within 5 minutes, he's got ADHD. So I was given a medication for him and basically told that I had to go back to the NHS because I couldn't be kept being seen private. So I went back to the NHS, was waiting for about another 3 months. Just the medication wasn't making any difference with him. He said he wanted to kill people. And I do actually believe that if I hadn't got in the middle of him and his sister, him and whoever it was he was with, that he would probably have killed somebody by now. It was that extreme. I mean, he could have come at them with knives, scissors, anything. So they had a meeting and stuff about him, and they decided to send him to CAMHS Tier 3 in the hospital. They seen him once a month, and I kept saying to them, look, you know, what do you expect me to do in this month here? It's not enough. You don't understand. Every day he's at risk, I'm at risk, and my entire family's at risk. I know that he can't control it because I'm with him every day. It's not him whenever he's like that. It's like a completely different child. And I want them to, you know, to sort out what's going on right now, because to me, he's learning these behaviours and he's only going to get worse. He's going to get stronger, and someday he is going to do something and it's going to be serious and he has to live with that for the rest of his life. I know that he doesn't want to be like that, and to watch your child go to be, oh, the only way I can explain it is psychotic. It's manic and it's a completely different person, and to see them like that and the look on their face and the fact that they want to kill that person at that time, and then afterwards hate themselves for being like that. I mean, all I want is for him to feel normal, and the fact that it's taken so long and that there's nowhere for him to go and be assessed quickly so they can see these behaviours is just, you know, it feels like there's no hope. If an adult done this, they would be sectioned, they would be taken in, and they would be assessed very quickly. I mean, any sort of suicidal behaviours or anything is taken so seriously, but when a child does it, it's just a behaviour thing and it's nothing serious, but to me it is. And to me, I don't know, if he keeps going like this, will he still be here in a year?
And some people listening to this might say, do you know what, this is a badly behaved child and you just need to discipline him more.
Yeah, I would completely have to disagree with that. I mean, from there being no age, my 8-year-old, she has none of those behaviours at all. Anyone who knows me and my family knows that I'm very strict with him. I always have been, because he has always been a child who seems to have messed about. And from he was young, I did think, yes, he is just basically a menace. I mean, I've looked in places to go to for London. I've said to the psychiatrist several times, I'm really concerned that he has bipolar. There's bipolar in my family. There's a lot of depression in my family. Children need just as much help, if not more. They're learning, they're at school. I mean, there's nights where he would wake up at 2:30 in the morning, he's hallucinating, seeing things, screaming. He wakes up everybody in the house, and then that does all up for the entire night, and he's not going back to sleep till 8 the next night. And even then, it's hard to get him to sleep. I mean, every night from he's been 3, I've been sitting beside him in his bed for maybe 2 hours trying to get him to sleep. He's absolutely terrified. His anxiety is terrible. And then he's got his aggression and is trying to get him to do work, trying to get him to get dressed. I mean, you know, that's basically what I'm left with.
Well, that's a desperate situation, actually, with that child. Nicola is here in the studio with us this morning. Morning, Nicola.
Morning, Stephen. Well, as you said, you can clearly hear the desperation in the voice of that mother. She wants to remain anonymous. And she's not complaining about the care her son is receiving at this moment in time, but she is complaining about the fact that there appears to be so little support out there for children and young people with mental health issues. In fact, I contacted three organisations that deal with mental health and was told that they didn't cater for children and young people. So this kind of reinforces this mother's point. Now, I did ask the Department of Health for statistics relating to child and adolescent mental health services, or CAMHS for short. And there are dedicated teams in each of the health and social care trusts. The department told me that children and young people are usually referred to these teams by GPs, health visitors, paediatricians and social services. Each referral is prioritised, assessed and follow-on care provided is provided by a range of therapists. So this really is the first port of call for families who need help for their children. And there has been a 31% rise in referrals since 2012. In that year, there were 6,701 referrals to CAMHS. This has steadily risen year on year until now. So in 2015 and 2016, there were 9,795 referrals to the service. And between April and November last year, in just 8 months, there were 6,387 children needing help from mental health issues.
What about waiting times?
Well, it's really no surprise that with the number of children being referred to CAMHS, there's going to be a waiting list. The most up-to-date figure that the department can give me, that's up to the end of March last year, there were 940 children and young people waiting to be seen, and 42 of them were waiting over 9 weeks for an appointment. Now, I also asked the department about in-house treatment for children and young people. It says each of the health and social care trusts provides crisis resolution and home treatment services for children and young people. In addition, some young people may be admitted to Beechcroft. Now, that's the regional inpatient services for children and young people who have complex acute mental health needs. And there are 33 beds in this facility for young people. However, if you keep in mind that in 2015-2016, there were 161 admissions to Beechcroft, there's a lot of pressure to access those 33 beds.
OK, Nicola, thank you. Listening to this, Edward Gorringe, the Chief Exec from Mindwise. Edward, good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How important is early intervention?
Yeah, we think early intervention is absolutely essential. Like many issues in the health service, when it gets to the critical stage, it's not exactly too late, but it'd be much better to nip it in the bud and get in early. Early intervention is both more efficient and effective. It also has much better outcomes for the children and the families, but it's also more cost effective in the long run than more expensive intervention later on down the line. We have a project that is funded by a big lottery called our Family Wellness Project, and it's really focused on children who don't meet the criteria for CAMHS, but who have got emotional health and well-being difficulties. And the idea of the project is really to stop them ending up with CAMHS by intervening early and hopefully helping them to avoid getting any worse.
Yeah, we still differentiate, don't we, between broken bones and a broken mind. Broken leg, no problem. People understand it. You get seen to. Broken mind, it's a little bit different.
Well, it is. And a broken mind is a much more difficult thing in many ways to fix. It's much more uncertain as to what effect various treatments have. So it's something that people find it difficult to certainly understand. But also, when it comes to funding and when it comes to resources, you know, an acute hospital or an A&E is a very visible thing to be seen. Whereas mental health tends to be invisible. Therefore, we tend not to fund mental health as well, perhaps, as we should do.
OK, Edward, thank you very much indeed. Morning to you.